We've all got a favourite Champions League moment. It might be Solskjaer's winner against Bayern, Zidane's sumptuous volley at Hampden Park, Lars Ricken's lofted finish for Borussia Dortmund, or about a million Messi moments. Might even be Sheriff becoming the first Moldovan team to reach the group stage. Whichever way you look at it, the Champions League has some of the best football on the planet, and it's great to have it back. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. Now, the best games deserve the best pundits, but we already had Marco Hare's number and we're lazy, so he's back again. Mark, great to have you with us. Let's talk about the outrights first. Paris are the favourites at 5.1. I understand the Messi mania, of course. You've got Manchester City just behind them on 5.5. Are Paris really the best team in Europe?
I wouldn't argue with the prices, in all honesty. I don't think, you know, Messi's arrival is enormous. Doesn't need a huge amount of analysis there to come up with that sort of conclusion. And have him along with Neymar and Mbappe in your front line is a pretty scary prospect. But I was quite impressed by their all-round business, in all honesty. I know they didn't necessarily need a goalkeeping upgrade. I quite like Keylor Navas, but Wijnaldum, I think, is a really savvy signing for that midfield, which, yeah, I did think needed a bit of work. And then to have Sergio Ramos coming in, whilst he might be waning in terms of his technical ability, I think the influence he can have on that squad in terms of his winning mindset is potentially quite key. This is a team that's already been to a Champions League final already, so in theory has kind of overcome that final hurdle and proven to themselves that they are capable of reaching the business end of a competition. But would I be backing them at 5.1? No, is the honest answer. I do think they're a very top-heavy squad. I think their best 11 is very, very scary for most teams. However, if you're going to fit Messi and Neymar into your team, there is issues there, particularly from a defensive side of things, when you come up against certain styles of play, which I think they will come up against towards the latter end of the competition. Someone like a Manchester City, someone like a Liverpool, who are all action, who do like to press high and do play as a team. You know, you've basically got two passengers there. You know, Messi, despite his brilliance, doesn't do a huge amount of tracking back, and Neymar is Neymar, isn't he? So, you know, can PSG go the whole distance with basically nine players when they're not playing in possession? I'm not sure they can. Obviously, the Champions League, you know, you need a huge amount of luck to go the whole distance too. So, you know, there's a few kind of nagging issues there for me to sort of swerve PSG and actually swerve Man City as well and look elsewhere.
Our professor of trading, the ever-educational Jason Murphy, is with us. Jason, I look at Chelsea in this market at 8.2 and I look at Paris at 5.1. And that feels like a big gap to me. And I guess the other thing as well is that Paris have won their first five games in Liga. I know they didn't win the title in France last season, but let's face it, they are going to win it this season. And I wonder if they'll find it so straightforward in Liga that gap between the intensity of those domestic games and Champions League games, especially at the back end, is going to be too big a void to traverse, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be a concern. If you consider, that's probably why Messi went there, though, as in he would be fresh and ready for the big games. I mean, they'll get two games against City in the group, but it's the knockout stages where you might be a little bit concerned that PSG might be a little bit stale, maybe not fully tested. And at the price that they are, I can't touch them at that price. They're not proven. Pochettino, we don't know yet, as Mark has alluded to, how we're going to get the best out of Neymar and Mbappe and Messi. You don't have to research this because City have gone off favourites the last couple of years, but they haven't won the Champions League. So essentially, the nature of the competition, the best team doesn't always win it. It's easier or more likely in a league season when you play 38 matches and it variance balances out a little bit more. But in the Champions League, you only play 13 matches if you win it. And particularly those knockout games, there's moments, things that can happen that have stopped City, who have gone off favourites, going on to win this title. So PSG at that price, I can't touch. The Chelsea price, about 8.2, defending champions. But if you look at the start of last season, heading into the competition, they were about 25-1. And they won it because they made probably the best signing last season, which was Tuchel. And that's what won it. But even saying that, they needed a bit of luck. Like that Giroud goal in Madrid against Atletico, the nice side of the draw, like Porto was the gimme that anyone wanted in the quarterfinals. And even then, I thought they were very impressive against Real Madrid in the semi-finals, but Benzema's had a couple of chances. He has a header at Stamford Bridge that goes in. Chelsea might not necessarily make the final. So it's very, very hard to price the Champions League outright at the start of the tournament because you're comparing different teams from different leagues, but that creates opportunity. So you rely on what you can know or what you can look at. And for me, looking at those prices and what we do know, there's two teams to me at the top of the market that are the value. The first is Bayern Munich. They went off second favourites last season just behind Man City. They're now nearly twice the price at 9.8. I don't understand it. I mean, if you look at last season in the competition, they just threw it away against PSG in the first leg. They gave away three goals and they've gone out on away goals at the end of it. But over those two legs, Lewandowski did not play. If Lewandowski plays in even one of those games, they beat PSG. And if you look at the year before, they won the Champions League. I don't see how they're any worse than what they were when they went against PSG or when they won it. There've been a couple of changes at the back, understandably. Arguably, they might be stronger up top of Sané if they get the best out of him with the likes of Perisic no longer there. Thiago's gone, but that just means you can move Kimmich up to midfield and Pavard at right back. I mean, it's ridiculous. So Bayern Munich at that price is beautiful. And likewise, I make similar arguments for Liverpool. They went off 7.0 at the start of the tournament last season. They're now about 11.0. And again, I don't understand it. If anything, they're better than what they were at the start of last season. Fully fit Van Dijk, but they now have added Diego Jota up top, which I think is another attacking string that they didn't have when they won the Champions League recently also. And Thiago coming into midfield is the type of player that could make the difference in the knockout stages for them. So I can't back PSG or Man City at those prices. PSG because they're unproven. Man City just because you need luck to win this. It's just too short a price for luck to be such a big player. So absolutely Liverpool or Bayern Munich at those prices at the top of the market is the best value.
And the other issue, of course, for Manchester City, lots of strange selections from Pep Guardiola once again in the final last season, picked a team that was nowhere near what he would normally pick for, say, a Premier League game or maybe a Champions League game earlier in the tournament. It has been an ongoing issue season after season. The data darling, Jake Oscarthorpe, has torn himself away from the banks of computers at Infogol to run the numbers for us. Jake, what stands out to you in the winner market? I think Jason's made a couple of great selections there for us to look at in terms of Bayern and Liverpool. What are you looking at?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to sound like an echo because they're the two teams that I had written down as the main value plays in this market. And for
are
all
you
the reasons,
copying
Jason's,
Oscarthorpe?
I think it was the other way around. I think Jason somehow managed to find my notes. But yeah, no, listen, every point that Jason's made is absolutely valid and it's exactly what I've got written down. Bayern Munich's price just looks way too big for a team that is probably one of the most well-balanced in Europe when you look at the starting 11. You think about the players that they brought in, Upamecano probably just strengthened them at the back. Obviously, Nagelsmann's come in. Whether he's an upgrade on Hansi Flick or not, we'll find out. There's every chance he is. But yeah, the midfield duo, Kimmich, Goretzka, the front four that will likely start. You've got depth in there as well. We saw Musiala come on and make a real impact against Leipzig at the weekend.
How good does he look, by the way? Oh, not just at club level, but at international level as well. I mean, he's a teenager. It's utterly absurd how good he looks.
Yeah, he does look very, very good. Probably a little bit disappointing for England fans that he actually chose to play for Germany. But, you know, that's just the kind of depth that they've got there. And you look at all the different various positions and they've got some real strength there now in quite a lot of different positions. So, yeah, as Jason said, they were very, you know, Lewandowski missed both games last season. If he plays, they probably progress. And who knows what could have happened then. And yeah, Liverpool, I think that they're probably one of the best teams in Europe when they're starting 11 anyway. It's probably up there with one of the best in Europe, just purely based on the balance of the team. I mean, you compare them to PSG. PSG's front three is obviously outrageous, but everything else, you'd probably pick Liverpool. Like the back line, Liverpool's back line looks very, very good. Goalkeeper's probably on par. The midfield three are probably, you know, you're providing much more stability for that back four than what PSG's probably will. And yeah, so the price of 11, I think, is very, very juicy. Just looking elsewhere, I'm struggling to find value. I quite like Chelsea. They were the only other team we've already spoken about. I think they've just drifted to, I know they are 8.2. They're the only other ones. And the main reason for that is because they're the best defence in Europe. And we know that having a strong defence in what is such a luck-based competition, there's a lot of luck that you need. If you can control the number of shots you're conceding and the amount of chances that you're allowing, then you're going to have a really good chance of going deep in this competition. And yeah, they've added Lukaku, who is strengthening their attacking capabilities, and obviously he will improve their attacking numbers as well. So we saw what they did against Liverpool at Anfield. We discussed it on the Premier League podcast, the way in which they sat in and used Lukaku as almost a one-man counter-attack at times. And they have that option if they get into the latter rounds of the competition. They can sit back and they can play counter-attacking football. They can also play possession-dominant football, as we see week in, week out in the Premier League. So, you know, I quite like Chelsea to do a repeat, and I think that price is a little bit too big. I'd probably have them a little bit shorter. Won't be touching PSG or Man City at those prices for the reasons you've said. Manchester City, we don't know what Pep's going to do game in, game out. PSG, as Mark said, they're very top heavy. That front three could score 4 and 5 every single game, but wouldn't surprise you if they conceded a couple of maybe 3 every single game. And you factor in that they are in a, what would we call it, a group of death? I mean, Leipzig in there. Maybe Leipzig of last season probably would cause them a few more issues.
That's the issue, Jake, isn't it? Because I have to say, I've been quite disappointed with Leipzig. I looked at the personnel they had. I like Jesse Marsh. I think he's a good coach, but it isn't working at the moment. And that's not to say it won't in the fullness of time, and they might surprise a few going forwards, but at the moment, they're not right. And that's the worry, I think, for them. So I'm not sure at the moment they'll pose the threat that we might have thought they would.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then PSG will and Manchester City will come out of that group fairly comfortably. But we are going to see two really good tussles there, PSG versus Manchester City, that could give us a gauge as to what to expect. And it might affect the market, those two head-to-heads, because, as I've said, I think defence is having a strong defence is probably going to be one of the main things you need to win this competition. And I've put Manchester City's defence much better than PSG's at this moment in time. So it'll be fascinating to see how that tussle plays out.
So in terms of selections to keep an eye on, Jason likes the look of Liverpool and Bayern. Jake likes the look of Chelsea and Bayern. I do too, actually. I really like Chelsea here. I understand completely what Jason has said, the reservations he has, but I just think adding Lukaku and that squad is stacked everywhere. I mean, there's very few positions that you'd say they've got any weakness in at all, and they've got one of the best coaches in Europe and probably the world. So I think Chelsea at above 8 look very, very good to me. Mark, if you were to pick one or two out from that list, which are the ones you'd go for, do you think?
Well, it's the same three. I think all three offer a value option compared to the top two in the market.
It's good Chelsea, that we agree. It strengthens the selection. It's good.
Absolutely. I'm struggling to make a case for most of the teams outside of those three, to be honest. And I think what Tuchel's achieved in 9 months is quite extraordinary and paints a desperately poor picture for Frank Lampard. But there we go. Had to get that dig in. But Tuchel, yeah. I think...
You're right, though. People will point to the fact that Frank Lampard brought youngsters through, and they're absolutely right to do that. Like, to say that there weren't any positives from his time at Chelsea is absurd, because, you know, he got them to a cup final. They qualified for the Champions League, which wasn't certain when he was there. But the difference in the tactical responsibility of the team and the structure of the team is massive. There's no getting away from that.
Oh, 100%. And I think that's why Chelsea command huge respect in this market. And, you know, as you already mentioned, they've strengthened the squad now, and they're so stacked across all areas. I do think they're probably the most complete squad in Europe. And I think for that reason, they need to be contenders and looked upon with maximum respect in terms of the market. I can't really add too much more to what the other guys have said, really, about one thing I would say about Liverpool: the Anfield factor is back in play this season. Yeah. With crowds back, and I also think, you know, in two-legged ties that can play a huge part, and especially if Liverpool are playing the second leg at Anfield. They've got a fully fit squad this season. I know Harvey Elliott's poor, going to be out for a while now, but even still, you know, there's still enough ability there to get over the line. And then Bayern, I do like Bayern a lot. My only issue really is, and the guys have covered it already, is the injuries, and the squad is still quite thin. I love the first 11. I think they've got a fantastically tactical genius in Nagelsmann behind the scenes, but I can't see a huge amount of weakness in the first 11. I think defensively they can be a little bit too open at times, and I think that would be a concern up against someone like a Chelsea. But I think injuries would be the main issue there. You know, if Lewandowski does get injured again, the cover outside of that is a concern. But I do think they're a bit overpriced as well. So Yeah, I think the away goals rule being abolished, I think that's going to be quite interesting, because I think it does play into the hands of the likes of Chelsea or an Atletico Madrid, a team who does like to control and keep games relatively tight, more so than teams who go out and score bags and bags of goals and leave themselves open, a little bit open at the back. So I think that's probably a bit of a bonus for Chelsea too, in the sense that they can keep things relatively tight, especially away from home.
Now, we know it's frustrating when you get frozen out of a bet, so Betfair is now offering no cash-out suspensions on match odds markets on the sportsbook, even during VAR reviews or when there's a penalty. By the way, Mr. O'Hare has written an excellent team-by-team Champions League guide that can be found on betting.betfair.com. And I've had the quill out as well, and I've put together a similar piece on the top goal scorer market. So you can find both of those at betting.betfair.com. And that's what we'll look at right now. Erling Haaland, the top scorer last season with 10. He's the favourite this season at 5.5. His record in the Champions League is utterly absurd. Robert Lewandowski, 6.4, fit again. Looking as sharp, I think, as he's ever looked, Lewandowski, right now. Lionel Messi, 7 on the exchange. Jason, I'm going to come to you. What stands out for you from this top goal scorer list?
Yeah, so when you're looking for a top goal scorer in the Champions League, obviously you want someone who's going to play a lot of games, so a team that's going to go far, and also a player who's going to score a high percentage of their team's goals. And ideally, a team that might score a few additional goals in the groups as well. So obviously, I've spoken about Bayern and Liverpool and how I fancy them to go quite far this year. So that leaves me looking at Lewandowski and Mo Salah. Lewandowski, when he's on the pitch, he scores over 40% of Bayern's goals. It's as simple as that. That doesn't apply or translate to PSG, because Messi, Neymar and Mbappe, they're going to have to share the goals out among themselves.
That's a really important point, isn't it? I was thinking that when I was writing the piece, the thing that kept coming back to me was the fact that you haven't got a Lewandowski where everything goes through them with Paris. It's either Neymar or Mbappe or Messi. They can't all score buckets of goals.
Exactly. Even if they score, you know, 3 or 4 in a game, you know, it's still only 1 or 2. Whereas if Bayern score 3 or 4 in a game, Lewandowski, it could be 2 or the hat-trick. And Bayern as well, in the group stages, have always ran up a cricket score against some, whether it be Spurs or even in the knockout stages against Barcelona, the A2. Yeah. So when a team is capable of doing that and you have that, the team that's set up, not on purpose, but like it's just the way they play it, it ends up with Lewandowski scoring the majority of the goals. And he's on penalties as well, which it's probably not the same with Lukaku, given Jorginho's there. Ronaldo, we're still not sure whether it's him or Fernandez. So Lewandowski at the price, totally agree with Haaland being at the top of the market with him, but just with Bayern, a better price to go a bit further for a bit longer, Lewandowski absolutely is the best bet that I could give you there. One at a slightly bigger price, and we'll be genuine, we'll be transparent here. I'm giving you tips what I think is value, and therefore, if we're doing prices on the sports book, we're not going to always be the best price. So Lewandowski, there's 13-2 out there. Have a look. Mo Salah, there's 20-1 out there with certain bookmakers on him, which does not make sense to me. Liverpool, the Anfield factor, as Mark's alluded to go far in the competition. Salah is on penalties for Liverpool, and he will hit a high percentage of their goals. So at 20-1, that just seems too big for me in terms of a bigger priced outsider bet. On the Betfair Sportsbook, we are offering 4 places at a quarter of the odds. And because we might be a little bit shorter on Salah or Lewandowski, if you disagree with us and you want to jump on the bandwagon, we're better prices on other strikers. We're best priced there, Ronaldo, at 10-1 at the moment, if you think he's going to continue the way he's gone so far. So have a look. There is value to be found in the market there. But for me, the two I really like at prices that are available, and the one that I really think will shoot the lights out, because he has done it in the last couple of seasons, that man should be given a Ballon d'Or. I'd nearly send one over myself. It's terrible I didn't get one. But Lewandowski, absolutely, for me, should be the favourite for the top goal scorer market.
I think he's got enough trophies with Bayern to sate him at this stage. But I absolutely agree with you. He should have a Ballon d'Or by now. One that stood out to me potentially was Memphis. And I know the risk there is how far Barcelona are going to go, because they are a bit of a car crash. But I don't think their group is mega strong. Obviously, it's got Bayern in, but I think Barca could finish second in that group. And he is the main man now. He's the guy who takes penalties. He can take a free kick. He's been scoring goals at the start of the season. I think he's been ever so good for the Netherlands. He was 26 on the sports book. So you may fancy that maybe at each way or maybe just as an outright outside bet. But I thought Memphis was certainly worth considering. Let's take a look at Tuesday's matches then. Remember, we're going to have a separate show looking at Wednesday's game, so keep an eye out for that. We're going to start with Barcelona, actually, a cracker between them and Bayern. The visitors hovering around evens to take the win. Mark, I'm going to start with you. That seems about right for Bayern to be that price, doesn't it, given the way they've started the season?
Yeah, the market's already moved towards Bayern Munich. They were sort of 2.2 not long ago, within the last 48 hours. So, you know, that's not too surprising considering the plight of the two clubs in the last 12 months. Bayern, you could say, potentially have got stronger with the additions of Upamecano, Sabitzer, Nagelsmann. Barcelona certainly aren't stronger. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that these two teams met at neutral territory and Bayern wiped the floor with Barcelona. That day they went off at 2.1. So they were about 2.1 when I started doing my prep for this on Sunday night, and that Barcelona side had Messi and Suarez, and had Griezmann and Fati on the bench, so they're in much ruder health than the one that kind of play against Bayern this midweek. Bayern, I know Gnabry went off injured against Leipzig, but as you say earlier in the show, Musiala came off the bench and was mesmeric, so you know. It's hard to sort of pick too many holes in this Bayern team. And I think they're ultimately as good as the team that went and wiped the floor with Barcelona not long ago. Barcelona are a lot weaker. So I think the price on the visitors is absolutely fair enough. I'm happy to back them at that price. But you can squeeze a little bit more out of it by just adding either Bayern to win and both teams to score, which is almost 3.5, or Bayern Munich to win and over 2.5 goals. They're just shy of 2-1. I know Leipzig came out of the traps and put up a decent fist in the first sort of 20, 30 minutes. But ultimately, Bayern created almost over 3 non-penalty expected goals, 4 big chances. Cologne did cause them a few headaches though earlier in the season. Gladbach scored against them, opened them up a few times. Dortmund scored against them in the Super Cup, and as we know, Nagelsmann's Leipzig team are always quite fun to follow as well. So I do expect goals in this game, but ultimately I think Bayern Munich are just too good for Barcelona. I just cannot trust that Barcelona defence right now, and whilst Memphis has matured and is certainly leading the line with real menace and real maturity, I wouldn't be too surprised if they got on the score sheet, but Bayern to win this match.
And Mark suggesting a multiple there, and worth remembering our fantastic multiples offer is running every single day. Bet £20 on multiples or bet builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. Jake, are you running along similar lines to Mark that you think backing Bayern is the way here?
Yeah, simply too big for this one. Like, they've shortened a little bit from last night and to just about even money. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them go off odds on for this game. I think that there's that big a gulf now between the two teams. The two starting 11s, there's, you know, this massive, massive difference between the pair. And even the strength off the bench, as Mark said, I think Bayern have got more to come off the bench than what Barcelona have. And yeah, simple as that for me. Bayern Munich to win. Just too big, too big. I probably would make them 1.9 myself personally for this, so I'd back them down to that. I think that the prices at the moment is should be snapped up, really. I know Barcelona have the benefit of being rested because they didn't play at the weekend. The game against Sevilla was postponed due to I think it was the internationals, the South American internationals, so
that's right,
they have the benefit of that. But then Bayern Munich, could it be argued that it's a benefit for them to be in the groove, having played so well against Leipzig? Potentially, and they know that this is a really big game and at the start of this, if they want to win this group anyway. If they go to Barcelona and beat them at the Nou Camp, then it sets a real statement for them. And you know, if they do win that, then we might see Bayern's outright price shorten a little bit.
Jason, I have to hold my hands up because I thought the first few weeks of the season in the Bundesliga might play out a bit differently, because I thought it might take the Bayern players a little while to adjust to what Julian Nagelsmann wanted. He's quite a demanding coach. He's quite an intricate coach in the information he's trying to get across to them. And I thought a few players might have a bit of a hangover from the European Championship. And they've said, right, Hatchard, we'll show you. And they've been excellent, largely, so far. I didn't think they were great against Gladbach on the opening night. I thought they were a little bit short of where they'd want to be. Could easily have lost that game. But since then, they've looked really, really good.
Yeah, up and running now, and that's perfectly understandable. But, you know, there's obviously argument that Pep couldn't go and coach in League Two and, you know, get Crawley Town to win a title. And
Like I'd like to see him try.
Like to see him try.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, get Netflix on that. But the thing with Nagelsmann and the top players at the top of the game, like I'd say they eat this stuff up. Like you have someone coming in, new coach, new ideas. These players want to improve, they want to learn. So it's still fresh. He's a new manager now, you know, 3 or 4 years at Pep. I know that's done some players' heads in, and Pep himself does have to step away. But Nagelsmann coming in there, I said the players will lap it up. Like you say, opening night weren't firing on all cylinders, but I think they're up and running now. The Bayern machine is clicking into gear and running smoothly. The way I approach this game is I just took it back to that game in Lisbon, neutral venue. Bayern went off more or less even money for that game, and they end up winning the match 8-2. And if you look what the teams were on the night, Mark has kind of touched on them a little bit there. Messi and Suarez are gone now, and Fati, Dembele, Braithwaite, the players that are meant to be leading the Barca attack are actually missing for this game. So it is going to be largely down to Depay to take it to Bayern. But even if he does, just Barcelona at the back, you're still going to have Pique, you're still going to have Busquets and this Bayern team coming at them. And if they went off even money in Lisbon, you can say Barcelona have home advantage for this game. But I've always made the point that when Messi's missing, he literally is home advantage, how much he moves the prices. So that balances out. So since then, Barca have got worse, even not considering Messi, they've just got worse, and Bayern are still Bayern. So if you're getting even money on Bayern at the Nou Camp, it's a cracking bet. It was 2.2. There's been over 10 grand matched at 2.2 or above. As long as it's still odds against, I still think there's value in that Bayern price. It's just phenomenal, the story, and it's quite sad, actually. I talk about Netflix documentary, like the pivotal moments in a Netflix documentary when they tell the story of Barcelona in 10 years' time is going to be that game against Bayern Munich. That's when the Roman Empire finally crumbled, because they're getting battered by Bayern, and Messi looks over to the bench and it's the club record signing, 160 million Coutinho coming on for Bayern. And he scores 2 goals against Barca. Like, that's it in a nutshell. It was an absolute shambles, a disaster what's going on at that club. And might as well just still take the value there now on Bayern, because that price, I think, I don't understand it. It's just too big still. Bigger than even money, I'd be on Bayern. And also that filters into the group prices. There is 8 to 13 available on Bayern Munich to win that group still. If that match price is correct, then that group winner price is wrong.
I remember being on the commentary team for that game, actually, the 8-2. And what you don't often see is the dressing room at half time. But somebody had opened a door, and you saw Messi slumped on the edge of a bench, just looking at the floor before he even came out for the second half. And you knew then that obviously something psychologically had shifted in his relationship with the club. We talk about Messi. We often then talk about Ronaldo. And he and Manchester United make the move to Switzerland to take on Young Boys of Bern. United are the 1.4 favourites here on the exchange. Jake, how do we attack this one with United so short?
Well, I want to get United on side, because I think they'll go over there and beat Young Boys. I also think it'll be quite high scoring. I think Young Boys have shown that they are a very open side, even throughout qualifying. They conceded twice in both legs against Ferencvaros in the last round of qualifying. And obviously Manchester United, if they set up the way they did against Newcastle at the weekend with effectively, you know, five attackers, and was it Matic that was playing holding mid? There's going to be goals. You know, he's freed up Pogba, he's freed up Fernandes. You've got Ronaldo now, who will be playing in this game. He loves the Champions League, doesn't he? The UEFA Cristiano League. And it's just going to be, there's every chance this could be a bit of a bloodbath in which Man United rack up quite a few goals. So I'm looking at Man United to win over 2.5 goals, which is around 1.97 currently on the exchange. And I think that's a bit of value.
Jason, is that the way you see it? A bit of a goal fest in Switzerland for this one?
I think given the attacking talent that United will have on the pitch, there's always potential for a goal fest. And also, if you look at the way Newcastle broke against them, you can also see a few potentially happening at the other end. It was great to see Ronaldo. It was great to see him getting a couple of goals at the weekend. But the concern I'd have is that was Newcastle that was breaking. Like, if you are talking about Premier League title, if that's Chelsea breaking with Lukaku, or if that's, you know, Mane and Salah, or, you know, Torres and Grealish, you know, United will be in trouble. So, like, just, I know I'm, you didn't ask about the weekend, but just in terms of United going forward and defensively, yes, they can score going forward, but they're still open at the back, and therefore any game they play, there's likely to be goals. The way I approach this match is I look at the United price, and it's about 1.42 United to win the game. To inform listeners, you always do your due diligence, and Young Boys actually play on an artificial pitch. And that does make a difference. There is additional home advantage with that. There was a study done 2018 that looked at the previous three Dutch seasons, top flight, 12 teams. And those with an artificial pitch, it's a small enough sample size, but the tended, they reckon, the people that did the study, that it was worth about 0.2 to 0.3 of a goal more than playing on a grass pitch at home. That is quite significant. So for United to be that short, if the market is taken into consideration the artificial pitch, then, wow, you know, Young Boys must be really bad. Or maybe the market hasn't fully taken that into consideration. The other thing I was thinking as well is, in my head, you're always thinking Champions League. There's always more home wins than you might see in a normal league season. Had a look at the group stages prior to COVID, four seasons, over 380 matches, just the group stages. And the home win rate is actually about 42-43%. So it's not, and that would make me sway and say that Young Boys here are definitely a bet, that the artificial pitch, you know, United might necessarily travel well away from home. So I can't see a reason to back United at the 143, and I can't see a reason to lay them, because Young Boys as well, it's hard to know the team. We'll be honest, it's hard to know every team inside out, but even just looking at how they've started in the Swiss League, if you were thinking to lay United, they've actually had a poor start. They've only picked up 8 points from a possible 15. This is a team that won their league by 31 points last season, have won the last four Swiss titles, so maybe they're not their best versions of themselves. That would cause the upset, so therefore laying United, I'm not so sure about either. So all in all considered, you don't always have to have a bet. And that 1.42 on United, I can't back it and I can't lay it when I've looked into it, and therefore I just leave it.
David Wagner sparkling once again at a European club, having had a nightmare with Schalke, not going so well for Young Boys. Mark, you have dipped into a group that I think is my favourite group because it's wide open. You've got Lille against Wolfsburg for us.
Yeah, real glamorous one, this one.
It's a great group, though, isn't it? You know, you could see any combination of the two maybe realistically making it.
Yeah, I think Wolfsburg more so than Lille particularly. Lille, you know, it was a minor miracle really to win Ligue 1 last season. That's down to the genius of Christophe Galtier, who's since left. Their financial issues have been well documented. Key players have left, and Jocelyn Gouvernec has come in, the former Gangomp coach, who, you know, he's not Christophe Galtier, put it that way. He's not on the same level. He has tried, or has not tried, to change too much in the opening weeks. There's been teething problems. Lille have started to regress back to the norm. The defence, which was their strength last season, has been really quite porous this time around. They're yet to keep a clean sheet. They looked really ragged on Friday night against Lorient, and they've already conceded three goals or more twice this season. And that only happened once in the whole of last season under Galtier. So, and then I think there's a wider concern for me around French clubs' performance in the Champions League. Take PSG out of the equation. Last season, Marseille and Rennes between them won just once and lost 10 of their 12 combined games. The year before, Lyon won twice from six and Lille picked up just 1 point. And in 2018-19, Monaco earned just 1 point and Lyon won once from six. So across those three seasons, French clubs outside of PSG have won just 4 of 36 group stage games. It's not pretty at all. It's really
That's a horrible figure, isn't it? 4 out of 36.
Yeah, it's horrendous. And, you know, it's something the French journalists are always sort of talking about. You know, we need to start proving ourselves on the international stage because the French coefficient is getting damaged by it as well. And I think Wolfsburg have surprised me under Mark van Bommel so far this season. Credit to him. He's not done a huge amount different to Oliver Glasner. And the schedule has been relatively kind. I know they beat Leipzig, but 4 from 4, just doing the business against Greuther Fürth at the weekend. Still quite functional. Weghorst leading the line. They've recruited quite smartly. Still got Lacroix at centre-half as well, which is a real, you know, bonus for Wolfsburg. I just think they're too efficient compared to Lille. I'm surprised they're outsiders for this game. I think they're more than capable of picking up at least a point. I think they score, and I think if they do score, I'm struggling to see Lille scoring twice against them. So Wolfsburg plus a quarter on the Asian handicap at 175 looks decent to me. We're making profit if they avoid defeat.
Well, now it's time for the world-famous podcast Treble, the feature that the legendary actor Leonardo DiCaprio may or may not have said is his favourite podcast Treble. We've had 3 out of 4 so far this season in domestic football. This is our first podcast Treble in the Champions League. What happens is, each of the guys have a selection, and then lovely traders like Jason wrap them up in a boosted treble for us. And Jason, I will start with you. What's your contribution to this first Champions League podcast treble?
Thanks very much, Kev. I think I'm going to pick what's the obvious one again. And I'm going to take just Bayern Munich, it's pure and simple, just to win in 90 minutes.
Lovely stuff. Mark, I'll go with you. I'm going to stitch Jacob Jason. And make him go last.
I'm going to go for Sevilla to beat Red Bull Salzburg in the opening game on Tuesday night. Sevilla very strong at the Ramon Sanchez Pequeín. I think they'll obviously have a bonus now with fans back in the stadium. Defensively, we know what they're all about. But going forward now, they've got Lamela and Papu Gomez as well to provide a bit of a spark when Ocampos isn't around. And yeah, if you look at their record at home under Lopetegui, they don't lose to teams outside of the big five in Europe. And the same can't be said of Salzburg, who, you know, despite dominating domestically, they've lost Jesse Marsh. They've also lost Daka and Wepu and Berisha, and Koita is injured as well. They are absolutely fantastic at recruitment, but they have looked a little bit fragile in the early stages of the season, particularly during the qualifiers against Bromby. And last season, they lost all three away games at teams in Europe's big five leagues as well. So I think Sevilla, trading around 1.65, 1.7, I think they're a decent bet to win at home.
And Jake, what have you got for us?
I know Jason's not too fond on it, but I'm going to throw Man United in there. I just think they'll be too strong for young boys. Maybe that's just fan pessimism, but I don't know. I just think that they'll brush them aside quite comfortably in Switzerland.
So we've got United to win, we've got Bayern to win, and we've got Sevilla to win as well. And that's all we have time for on this edition of Football Only Better. Please do remember to gamble responsibly. We want your feedback to make the show even better. So take our short listener survey by clicking on the link in the show description. And remember, we have another show coming up looking at Wednesday's Champions League matches. From Jason, from Jake, from Mark, and from me, it's goodbye for now.